This podcast contains sexually explicit discussion, and if you're under 18, then it's time to switch off, as it's meant for your parents. And believe us, you really don't want to listen now.
Hi, I'm Mr. G.
I'm Mrs. G.
And we are...
The Sexless Swingers.
So, Mrs. G, episode 33, all the threes.
Yes, again. Sorry, people want to know what we're saying. There's me again. It's not episode 33 again. It's just these three numbers that I keep finding coming up and cropping up around me. It's something I've had for years, but I'm noticing it more and more and more. You know, like when you look at a time or you look at, I don't know.
Well, it sort of came up, I think, last week it came up because we do quite a lot of voice notes on some of our chats.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I think you or we have done a few recently, hitting in at 3 minutes 33.
Yeah, keeps happening.
But what does it mean?
Well, it's an angel number, apparently. I mean, I'm relatively spiritual, but I'm not hugely into all of this. But I've Googled it because, it for me, it's coming up too often for me to ignore it. It's like somebody keeps shouting at me going, hello, can you keep looking at this 333? So, yeah, it's an angel number. I'm just having a quick read now. It says that it could be something to do with spiritual, personal or financial aspects. And if the individual is repeatedly seeing the sequence of threes, it means it is their time to expand.
Expand.
It is also connected to optimism, creativity and intuition.
Well, something's so expanding. Something's expanding at the moment, isn't it?
My boobs.
Yeah.
We'll talk about my HRT journey, I think. But yes, they are the crazy things are happening.
I quite like it.
Anyway, sorry, we went on a complete tangent of spirituality and big boobs. What a mixture. So, welcome to episode 33, all.
Indeed. And, well, first of all, what are you drinking and what are you wearing?
I'm just dead on. I'm on the water. I'm being healthy-ish because we had a bit of a heavy weekend, which we'll talk about. And it's midweek, so I kind of have to go off a little bit in the midweek. And I'm just wearing my jeans and an oversized sweatshirt.
Very nice, very nice. So, we had quite the weekend. Bizarrely, it was a year since our very first socials last year, which...
What, a year to the day?
Well, no, it's a year to the day. On the 4th, we sort of talking the 2nd.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the weekend, the first weekend of December last year, we did our first two socials.
That's mad that we did we went to our first ever social and then... literally a year, more or less, to the day, we're hosting a social.
I know.
That's crazy times. That shows how...
That wasn't deliberate either.
And listen to that. Listen to the growth in the year. And we've just said the angel number thing, and if that is a thing, it was about personal growth. Oh! Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
So, listeners will know that we were, back in October, encouraged to host a social, shall we say.
Yeah.
By a friend of ours who actually couldn't come to the social in the end.
We did it anyway.
But yes, we decided to do a social. So do you want to talk about what did you organise for the social?
Well, it wasn't that difficult, really. We basically, there was a venue that was doing a burlesque bottomless brunch. And it was a set price, and I contacted the venue and said, there's a fair old group of us, can we do it, can you have us? And they said, yeah, just book, let us know, and we'll link the bookings together. So it ended up where there was 38 of us.
Well, 42, two didn't make it, so we had 40 tickets.
40 and 7 random other people in this venue. I mean, following that and doing that at that particular venue, they have said, let's just look at doing a complete takeover next time and we can tweak it and do a few bits and pieces. That was, like I said, it was a bottomless brunch with some burlesque dancing. It was really good, actually. It was a good balance of everything,
excellent,
wasn't it?
Yeah, we can talk about it in more detail.
We will. And then we contacted a few more venues in city centre Manchester.
Yeah, this being a brunch, this was sort of 2:30 till 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, and we knew, because we're obviously local to Manchester, when the Christmas markets are on and the first weekend of December, it is absolute Bedlam in Manchester. To try and get into a venue, you can often be queuing. And if there's around 30 to 40 of you, you're not getting in. So we contacted some venues and we found an area of a bar, which they gave us exclusivity to. And we just did a set fee, didn't we? And people paid that and they got some vouchers and it was a nice area.
It cost them nothing because they got the vouchers for the deposit.
Yeah, it worked really well. And that's what we did.
So, well, first of all, we stayed for two nights.
We did. We stayed for two in Manchester, do you mean?
Yeah.
We did, although I've just written a letter of complaint to the hotel. We booked a very nice hotel that we've stayed in before, but the first night, the heating didn't work correctly. And this was the weekend where most of Britain was blanketed in snow and it was in sub-zero temperature.
Our chat for the social, there was a few jokes about you being Elsa. And as I said, works out that the cold did bother you.
The cold bloody did bother me, yes. It bothered me because I don't like it when I'm supposed to be warm and I wasn't warm. We'd booked a bit of a bigger room than we'd had last time when we stayed there and we couldn't utilise the whole room. So, no, I wasn't happy. They did kind of get it sorted by the second night. But anyway, that's going completely off track. We had two nights. We went out on the first night, just ourselves, had some fancy cocktails. We put some of that, I think, onto Twitter.
Did.
Or X, or whatever it's called now. Some lovely food, and then went back to freeze at the hotel for a night.
We did warm it up slightly, though.
Yeah, slightly, but if you remember, I wouldn't come up from under the covers. Because I was so cold. My good luck. Well, yeah, but I was giving you a blowjob, and my head was in the most oddest of positions, and I think I ended up with a bit of, like, whiplash or lockjaw or something.
I actually said how good it was, if you remember.
You did. It must be that you had my head in a rammed in an odd
position. Probably felt like someone else.
Probably.
So, no, we had fun that night. The next day, we just sort of did a few things in the morning around town.
We did.
And then we got to the venue at around 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
We met a couple outside who were coming, so mm-hmm. they came in with us. And then slowly but surely people started to arrive, quite a lot late though.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Manchester's absolute madness this time of year. I mean, it's madness often now, but this time of year, it's crazy times. People thinking they've got a 10-minute taxi journey, it's taking 30 minutes.
And that was the issue, really.
Yeah.
But everybody arrived
we all got
in
there.
Time.
Yeah, within half an hour, we all got there, so, yeah.
But I think we weren't sure what the layout was going to be exactly, but it really worked well. Everybody had seating for their meal.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of mingling time.
Yeah, it was a nice balance. And food was provided.
I don't know what the seven vanilla people thought.
I don't know. Like, I didn't even look at them.
I didn't either. There was one very dull-looking couple.
There was nothing going on, though. We were just
I think I possibly saw two people kissing.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, it was over at the bar.
Oh, right, okay.
But other than that, it's early in the day, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. But I'll tell you what, one of the best, well, there was a few good little highlights from there, actually. So the girls were really good. The entertainers were amazing. Singing was amazing.
Three burlesque dancers and a singer, wasn't
Yeah, it? But because it's Christmas, it was Christmas themed. And one of the burlesque dancers came out as the Grinch, which was one
Brilliant.
Of the most surreal things I've seen. It's the Grinch doing a burlesque dance. But it was fun.
Made it funny.
Yeah, it was fun. Everything was fun. And it was just that it kind of set the atmosphere and the vibe off nice, didn't it? But then, a little bit later on, as the kind of another singer came on, we looked out the window and it had gone sort of just between sort of dusk and dark at this point, hadn't it?
Yeah, it was probably around 4 p.m.
And we looked out the window and it was snowing.
Christmas social, first social that we do, and there's the snow falling.
It was as if we'd booked it in. Like,
exactly.
I think people thought we'd got a snow machine on the roof. It was real, real life snow, though. It was good. It was all, could not fault any of it. I think
the burlesque was really popular because it was nice entertainment. Everybody was mingling, some people joined in some of the songs.
Yeah, I think some of the girls were saying they would really like to have had a few lessons and tips of how to do certain things.
So more to follow on that.
Yeah, perhaps we'll do something a bit more along the lines of that next time.
So that was up until around 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Like we say, there was 38 of us. Everybody seemed to enjoy mixing and chatting and so forth. A few had other plans for the evening, so didn't come along to the bar.
Yeah.
Most did, but we also had quite a few others join us.
Yeah, so that some people that couldn't do the brunch could make the bar. And so it's quite nice to... I mean, it was a kind of a steady core, really, of about 30 of us, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was about 35 at the bar, yeah, I think.
And then, like I say, some that hadn't been at the brunch then joined us later on. It was all good. It was no, yeah, it all worked fabulously and seamlessly.
Now, one interesting thing about the evening. One of the single guys who joined us for the evening, and there was only a couple that came along, single guys. We knew them both, nice guys. One of them brought his date, or brought a date. It was their second date. She was a Mexican lady. We sat down, I chatted to her for a bit, because he'd explained how he knew everybody.
I mean, he's been honest.
Yeah.
I'm not sure it did him any favours.
Well, she chatted, and she's chatting to me, and sort of asking a little bit about what we were doing. So he explained, and
what
she was...
What exactly did you explain
I can't
to
remember. I've been on a bottomless brunch. Already started on the drinks in the bar. I think they arrived about an hour after we got to the bar.
Yeah.
And I sort of said, it's just, you know, a lot of us very happy couples. It's just what we do. And she was like, yeah, it wouldn't be for me. And I wouldn't want him doing it.
Oh.
And it goes back to that chat about single guys, mm-hmm, or single people in the lifestyle of, you know, are you in the lifestyle because it's what you like to do? In which case, it's something that you can't just drop.
Yes.
And we've met him several times, yeah, now, several socials. And in the end, she did get up and walk out. And he let, yeah, her and came back. I think he put her in a taxi or something, came back in, and it was almost like, these are my people, she's, yeah, not.
Yeah. I mean, if he's been honest and he's been upfront about it, I mean, good on her for coming and having a sit down and a think, but it isn't going to be for everybody, and she will likely be have her thoughts and opinions about this, not necessarily are correct, but society will have told her. And,
yeah,
suggested
plus
things.
As well, like I said, I think she was coming from another culture as well.
Oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. So it didn't work out for them.
So just reversing slightly, we got to the bar. It's sort of a triangular bar, isn't it?
Mm.
And one end of it, they'd literally roped off. So we had about three booths.
Yeah.
Which seated maybe 6-7 people each.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a large area, again, for mingling and dancing.
Yeah.
And it was great because there was table service for us.
Mm.
So the lovely lady who sorted it all out for us, she was literally taking orders for drinks, bringing the drinks for people.
Yeah.
Ideal. But it was a nice setup.
Yeah, it was. It worked really well. It was good.
So after an hour or so of mingling around, chatting, and we chatted to everybody, I think.
Yeah.
And had a good chat with everybody. We had some good friends there.
Yeah.
We had some people that we'd known a year.
Yeah.
And other people who we'd not met before and also were brand new into the whole lifestyle.
Yeah, a nice
scene.
Mixture.
So we were chatting around, having fun, etc. And I think I'd nipped to the toilet or something like that. I came back and you sort of grabbed me with a grin on your face and you said, have you kissed anybody yet? And I said, no. And you went, I've just had a three-way kiss. So what happened?
They're a couple that we've had a little bit of a conversation with.
They were at Mansion with us, weren't they?
They were at Mansion with us on the Friday night gang at Mansion. We kind of know them, I suppose, now. So we've spent a bit of time here and there with them. They were having a bit of a husband and wife kiss, and it was right in front of me. So I just said, I'll join in if that's okay.
Very forward of you.
And they agreed.
Oh, obviously.
And they enjoyed, as far as I know. And that was it. Dead simple.
So you sort of said to me, and as I'm discovering, and we talked about this a little bit on one of the last socials we went on, I sort of need that, not consent, that's the wrong word, because you're always consenting, but I almost need that green light from you of we're good to go.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I suppose the beast was released a little bit.
I think that's putting it mildly, actually.
Mm.
The beast was released.
I'd had quite...
Was there any... I think, okay, how many women were there?
In our group?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, maybe 15 to 20.
How many did you kiss?
I can't remember.
I'm thinking it's about 10.
could possibly comment. I enjoyed the night and so I enjoyed making connections. So this
is what's interesting, is I apparently go first and have a little bit of a three-way kiss. Well, yes. Your beast is released. You crack on with half about, if not more, of the group working your way around.
It wasn't quite like that. I think as I was chatting to people, it just developed.
It just fell into the lips with your lips.
And bizarrely, every single one was a good kiss.
I know, because you kept coming up to me going, oh my God, just kiss such body. She's amazing. And I'm going, all right. And this is the thing, is I've had a three-way and it stopped and it started. That was it. You crack on. And I was just like, oh, right. I'm too busy dancing. I'm too busy chatting. And my downfall is that I kind of forget why I'm supposed to be there.
I was chatting a lot too, though.
In between having your tongue down someone's throat, yeah.
Well, I wouldn't quite phrase it like that exactly, but...
No, I don't mind at all who you kiss, whatever. There's no kind but no, of...
I had some lovely kisses again, maybe sort of rekindling with a couple.
Yeah.
And some new ones, women that I've not met before, but also two women that we got good chats with, them and the partner.
Yes.
And I kissed both of those women for the first time on Saturday night, which was great because I really quite like them both. So it was nice as well.
But the thing is, I quite like their husbands. Why have I not kissed their husbands?
Well, exactly. Why did you not?
I don't know. And this is something, wasn't it? On the morning after the social, I woke up and I said to you, I feel like I felt a little bit out of sorts. I felt like I'd kind of got this feeling of doom. This sounds very extreme and dramatic, but I'll try.
It's not like you.
I don't get feelings of doom.
Dramatic though.
Oh, dramatic. Yes, it can be dramatic. And I was like, I woke about 7 in the morning, probably still drunk, but you know that level where you've had too much to drink and you've had a sleep, but you're not quite sober and you're not quite drunk and you just kind of wish you weren't in that particular zone. You'd rather be one or the, you know, you'd either be sobered up or still really drunk. And I remember just thinking, I feel like, yeah, it's doom. It was the only word that came into mind. So I fell back asleep again, woke up again about an hour and a half later, and the doom feeling had relinquished a little bit, but there was still this kind of, maybe like dissatisfaction, annoyance at myself, kind of a, you know, like as if you could like a face palm emoji. That was my emoji of the moment that explained exactly how I was feeling.
It's interesting because... Obviously, as we've just covered, I kissed quite a few ladies.
Yeah.
And I actually woke up the next morning thinking, did I go too far?
Yeah.
Not with you, because you were absolutely fine with it. But more, as I say, there was two in particular who I'd wanted to connect with and did. And I thought, would they feel devalued in any way? Because I've kissed quite a lot of others.
See, this is quite interesting, because I'm sure we're not alone in these feelings that we've both got. We're coming from completely different angles, given that we're a couple, but we've had the same night, we've been together on the same night, and we've both woke up with different things going through our minds. So although we've both had that same experience, we've come at it from different angles, because obviously you're your own individual and I'm my own individual.
And I don't think either of us were sort of bothered by how each other had gone about
it.
Not at all.
No.
And we had, you know, there was no issue at all between us. Everything was fine.
No.
It was more us looking at ourselves rather than at each other.
And that's what's quite nice though, isn't it? That we're a year down the line now, that we've probably had that kind of growth within our relationship in this aspect, that we're now in a position, like you would with your mates, where you'd kind of go, I feel like this because I did X, Y, and Z at that night out. You know, like if you were single, we do that with each other now.
Yeah.
It's quite good to have that. It's good that we can have each other to bounce things off without judgment or any kind of jealousy.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely, there's no jealousy, I'm no concern that I'm happy that you've had a really good night.
That makes it sound like we weren't together at all in the night. We were a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. But I think I wonder if the listeners think, oh, is Mrs. G feeling that she's somehow missed out because Mr. G had this great, successful, if that's the right term, night, because So to label us, we are ethically non-monogamous or swingers. However you want to phrase it, we all know what we are, right? So theoretically, what we're supposed to do, again, is this because this is what the ethical non-monogamous society tells us, and so I'm kind of questioning myself as I'm chatting, but we're supposed to go on a social night out with other lifestyle people that are like-minded people, and so therefore, we should probably have more kisses or make connections and have some kind of sexual activity. And because I had a three-way kiss and towards the end of the night one kiss with one man and that was it, I felt a level of disappointment in me. I felt a bit like, I've said this before, I'm sure, like the mansion, almost like a wasted opportunity. Why am I not?
Yeah, I think the mansion was different.
It was for different reasons, but why does my brain not go into action when we get into these situations where there were so many people I could have asked for kisses with? There was lots of attractive people there. There was lots of people there that I have a level of trust with. There's lots of, you know, enough trust to have a kiss with for sure, because I'm a bit funny on that side.
You need to trust people?
I need a little bit, a little bit. I feel better when I kind of know somebody than if you're a complete stranger, unless they're just fit. And so it's kind of made me internalise and go, where's your head? What are you doing? And I think there's a few things with this, but one is I go on these nights out, I end up having such a good time and chatting so much.
Yeah, because I think it's important to note that you had a great time.
I had a brilliant night.
Yeah.
And I was dancing so much. And like I say, just chat around everybody, that it almost kind of, it got to the end of the night and I was almost like, oh shit, is this the time? I've not really kissed anyone. I've not really made any further connections here.
Possibly as well, some of the people that we connected with most closely did leave earlier than us.
Yeah.
For various reasons.
Yeah, yeah.
Whether it's to get a cab home or what have you.
Yeah, so our stronger, slightly more established connections, if they'd have stayed later, would it have been... Maybe it would have been different, I don't know. But definitely, to be honest...
I mean, I did actually have somebody back to our hotel, if you remember.
Yeah, I know.
Which was a couple that we connected with before. And, yeah, I mentioned, but it wasn't the right time.
No, it wasn't the right time for them, was it? So no. That's fine. But I didn't know that you'd kissed her at this point. I had no idea, and I wonder if
did you not?
No. Ah. No, and I wonder if I'd have... I don't know. Would, if I knew that earlier in the night, would I have then approached him? You know, I really accept that I'm a bit complex at times, because all the listeners will have heard me harp on, you know, I need to feel in control, this, that and the other. Yet, equally, if a man doesn't approach me, I don't lack in confidence, but society has told me forever that as a woman, I don't ask somebody else. I don't ask somebody to marry me.
I think you've taken society's rule book and started tearing it up now, though. So
I'm trying to, but I still struggle with it. This is from my feeling of doom on the morning. This is where I've been processing now.
Was there any sense that, for example, this was a bar, which is, 200 metres from my office?
Mm-hmm.
It's our hometown. It was a public bar. Obviously, you know, we had an area, but, you know, kissing's fine.
Are you going to ask me, was I conscious?
I was going to say, who wouldn't kiss on a social? It's just, you know, if it's a vanilla venue, people kiss all the time. I don't get these sort of...
But are you meaning, was I conscious that I might see somebody? So in the moment on the night, I don't think I was conscious. Maybe I was unconsciously conscious.
Subconscious,
yeah. So maybe there was an element of that also. And this was an unusual thing because we've never done a social before. What I found an element of with me is I felt like I needed to be a little bit responsible, because I felt responsible for the people, and I'm not, but I felt it. Let's say that one of the women, there was some of the girls were dancing with some guys that were in our group. That's fine. There's no issue with that. But let's say something suddenly went wrong.
But that's not our responsibility.
It's not. But I struggle to kind of relinquish that and kind of go, that's not my problem, because I just naturally take that. So it's not all bad, because ultimately we have to go through these things to come out the other end, have a feeling, have an emotion, and go, I need to work on that, or I need to process that, and I need to come through it the other side and go, I need to try something different. I think I'm realising that I really, really struggle to drop the monogamy mindset. Even though I'm happy to have sex with other people and I really enjoy the connections and the being tactile and sitting on other men's.
Well, for example, we'd walked across town from one venue to the other. It was snowing very lightly.
Yeah.
You were arm in arm with one of our friends.
Yeah.
A man strolling through Manchester.
Yeah.
And I was arm in arm with one of the single ladies who come along that night.
Yeah, and then later on, when we went to have a dirty McDonald's, even though we hadn't really done anything to warrant the dirtiness, but it was law, I walked hand in hand with a different man. And I don't...
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even remember
yeah,
that.
Yeah, because I was trying not to slip. Yeah, so I was trying not to slip and, you know, he was being...
Gentlemanly.
And there was nothing... There was no weird moves being made or anything. He was just being lovely. So I have no hang-up with that. There's just this... It's almost just this bit of a guard or a barrier that I think, as I'm still processing, and this will probably be something that will go on for weeks and weeks in my head, but I think there's this small element still, and you mentioned before it was this vanilla situation... a vanilla bar... I think there's still a little element of me that concerns my own self with what will people think.
But what would they know?
People did know because we met a couple who
Actually.
We'll go on to that in a second. So if they noted that we were within a group of people...
Well, no, she'd had a conversation with me.
But she had the conversation with you because she'd noted what she'd seen.
Ah, right.
So when you're... Well, let's come on to them in a minute. When I was growing up, when I was at secondary school, I was often called a slag. Often. I had a steady boyfriend who I went out with from, I don't know, for like 3 years at school. It was very innocent until I was literally 2 months off being 16. So I was in no shape or form a slag. But I was called it an awful lot by usually...
Now you wear it as a badge of honour.
Now, by usually girls that were probably a little bit older. My boyfriend was in their year group and it was...
Jealousy.
It was jealousy. And although as an adult now I see that, but it's still there.
And that's where the book, The Ethical Slut's so good because it reclaims the word.
I probably need to read that more in depth and really take ownership for it. You see, I struggle with, you go to a sex club, I hate the expectation. I despise it. I quite enjoy a sex club, but if I go there, I feel like we all can get our fuck on. And so there's a level of expectation and I don't like what that makes me feel. And so we go to a vanilla setting and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm really happy here. But, oh, what would society think if I kiss some random man or some random woman? It's just, I think I just need to stop thinking.
Just do.
Yeah.
Nike, just do it.
Just do it. But yeah, I need to do a Nike. I don't know. It's work in progress with me.
Yeah. I don't think I have those issues.
No shit.
But on a serious note, I just don't. But I see things very much as you have a kiss, it's nice in the moment, you enjoy it. And it doesn't necessarily lead anywhere. I think you see it as more once you kiss, then it's sort of a green light, potentially.
I think it can be seen as that. As I say, I think I'm potentially guilty of overthinking an awful lot here. And I don't think, as a standard rule, correct me if I'm wrong here, in most situations in life, I don't think I really overthink. I think I do just do. I'm quite an impulsive person. Mm. You think of some of our life decisions, even down to us getting married. It was impulsive. It was reactive. So why now am I not impulsive and reactive? And the only thing I keep coming back to is literally that I have this really deep instilled monogamous mindset that is so ingrained.
You say that, I disagree because you're saying it's about monogamy, but then you're saying it's not about me. So it's not that you think I'll be upset with you. So
yeah,
it's not. I think it's more of a societal issue. then
or
I'm
my own
issue.
Judgment of me, or I don't know if this is what I'm working out.
I don't think you'd be worried what other people think of you, because why start now? But possibly you're more worried about what society thinks, not people in particular, but society.
Yeah.
So it's not a monogamy thing as such.
Mm.
And it's not about, oh, well, is Mr. G going to be pissed off with me? Because I never have been.
No.
Whenever you've kissed anybody, it's absolutely fine. No issue whatsoever.
No, I know. I know. I'm going to work on it as best I can and try and process it through. But I think this is something that's been kind of bubbling along with me for a few months, really. If you remember, if I think back to the other episodes where I've kind of got, we've gone on socials, we've done this, and I've kind of gone, oh, I got the ick, or I just wasn't feeling it. And it's, I annoy myself, because it's not as if I'm not enjoying the moment. It's not as if I'm not, I'm enjoying all of it. So why not let it go, in the words of Elsa, on a snowy night?
Yeah.
Why am I not? And there'll be something in there. And it just, I woke up, like I say, on that Sunday morning with this feeling of doom, and the overall feeling was, I'm such a shit swinger. I've chatted with a few of our friends, and, you know, because they've kind of checked in and said, how did it go? Or if they were on the social with us, we really enjoyed it, we had a great night. How are you two doing? And I'm like, well, yeah, you know, Mr. G had a fabulously successful night, and I don't want that to...
But it's not successful just to kiss people. I mean, ultimately, it's not... A successful night is engaged by if you play or if you kiss or how many. It's just about whether you enjoy yourself.
It is, and I did enjoy myself. So there's absolutely no doubt in that. I just don't understand why I can't put myself a bit more forward. I do think it's got to be judgment. I think if I put myself in the scenario, and on that night, if I'd have gone round and I'd have gone asking a few of the husbands for some kisses, what happens if I'd have upset one of the women, and I quite like the women as my friends, and I don't want to do that?
But they know the game. They're there.
Yeah. This is where I still need
They're not vanilla women who are going to be, what the hell are you doing with your husband?
I am just genuinely shit at this. Like, I'm proper shit at this. I know we've got a podcast and everything, but I am genuinely shit at being a swinger. I was saying to one of our friends, I almost feel like I could have a sideline of a podcast of how not to do it, because I could talk all day about how not to do this.
That's what you're doing.
I am right now, but previous to this, we've been talking about how we think we're meant to be doing it.
But I don't think you're a shit singer.
Singer or swinger?
Swinger. Shit singer.
Right, thanks.
But where you have been getting plenty of action at the moment...
Oh, yeah.
...is...
My dreams.
Yes.
I think, though, and I wanted to kind of give a bit of a follow-on, because... As listeners will know, I've had my HRT tweaked, because I went to see the specialist, and they gave me some testosterone. Well, they've upped my estrogen, and they've given me some testosterone. And, things are changing a bit. So I've been on this, what, 5-6 weeks? Oh,
not
no,
sure.
Do you know what?
It's
4 to 5 weeks I've been on it. So yeah, around a month to just over a month. So I'm guessing now is the time you start to see these reactions. But my boobs had, they've been so sore, haven't they, for about 8-9 days now?
They have.
Like, you can't come near them, can you?
Well, I have done.
But you're not allowed to touch my nipples.
No.
It's agonising.
Well, did the other night, but...
I was drunk then, it was numb.
All right.
It's been agonising, and I've been reading today on one of my little support groups... that apparently plentiful of estrogen makes your boobs grow. And on Saturday night when I went out, I had one of my Honey Badette bras on, like a cage bra. I was bulging at times.
You were.
And then on top of that, I think the testosterone's starting to have some effects, because I keep having sex dreams.
You do?
And I've had to start telling people, because I feel, again... Why am I doing this?
Is it three different people now?
I think there's about 4 or 5.
I can think of 3 off the top of my head.
Not all men. Some men.
Well, there was a woman who you told her that you dreamt about fucking her.
That was Angelina.
It was. There was another of our friends. And you basically told him and his wife how you dreamt about him wrestling you to the floor.
Yes.
With passionate kissing.
It's quite specific, the sex that happens in these dreams.
And then one of the couples who we said we quite like, and I kissed the wife the other night, and you've just today told him that...
Yeah, I've had to fess up. I feel like these dreams are really quite explicit and they're quite in detail, and I remember quite a bit of the detail. They might not always make sense, like dreams are a bit odd sometimes, aren't they?
Yeah.
But I remember quite specific details in these dreams.
What sort of detail?
Well, like Mr. wrestling me to the floor with a passionate kiss. I mean, what are we in Bridgerton or something? What's going on?
Well, the thing is, me and his wife came up with a whole story for what we were doing. Well, that was
happening. I know, and this is the thing. It's not that you're not there, but you're not there. It's not that you're not...
So you're having all these sex dreams about our friends, none of them about me.
I've not had a single sex dream about you. I'm so sorry. That's because we have actual sex, though. But I think I'm kind of aware of you. It's not as if, like, I'm a single woman. I'm still...
So I'm there, but not visible in your dream.
You're not visible in the dream. It's all about the person that I'm fucking in the dream. But because these dreams are quite explicit and in detail, I feel like I have a duty to tell the people that I fucked in the dream. I feel like
Both the guys you've told seem relatively impressed, although... One of them today, he was a little bit like, oh, I feel a bit used.
He did feel used, yeah. I told him he wasn't used in the dream, though. So he was all right with that. I can only imagine this is what...
Well, you told him you very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, I did.
Are you wanking in your sleep as well?
No, I don't orgasm in my dream. I have orgasmed in dreams previously, but that would be... I've not orgasmed in a dream for years. Years and years. That I know, that I can remember anyway, because you don't obviously remember everything. This is just, it's just sex, but there's not an, I don't...
So you're hoping to make these dreams reality?
I mean, I don't know. Why not, I suppose? I mean, like I say, I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer of saying no, I don't want to. But I'm just shocked. It's a definite change in me.
I like both the wives of the husbands that you've been fucking. Not so sure I want to fuck Brad.
You and Brad in that dream were really, really enjoying watching me and Angelina.
I'm sure we would do.
I remember Brad having a hard on. I had to tell him this as well, because he said something or other to me when I was telling him about it, and I said, "Oh, you fucking loved it," and he was like, "All right, yeah, yeah." I said, "Yeah, I could tell. How did you know I was fucking loving it?" I said, "Because in my dream you were stood behind me and a hard on." And I think he quite liked that idea. And again, though, where were you? I think you were just watching, and you wouldn't just watch. So it's like, it's just odd. So that's the definite change. This is, I think, a symptom or side effect.
So you're having these dreams, and then me and the wives are creating this whole sub story.
Yeah, to try and get involved. Don't forget about us. I think it is what, like I say, preteen or teen boys go through when they get testosterone starts surging in their bodies, and maybe that's, I'm getting an element of that. So watch this space, because as much as I'm sat here now going, I'm a shit swinger, in another month, when there's even more testosterone, maybe I'll just be this rampant Randy thing.
Maybe. We've got a few things lined up as well, really.
We have.
We've got, over Christmas, we've got friends coming up, Angelina and Brad coming up.
Yeah, we have. We think for a few days. We've talked about that before, actually,
didn't
we?
We've got other lifestyle friends visiting us.
We have.
Christmas and New Year.
I forgot about them, yeah.
And we've also got another social.
Another social, yeah. So, I know last Christmas, New Year, we had literally nothing, did we? And I think we got COVID as well.
We've corrected it now.
We've sorted that out. So, yeah, I mean, this is where we're at. Let's see what happens in another month with my surging testosterone.
I think my testosterone's okay.
Yeah, I think you're all right, love. Let's have a little chat about what our good friends had been talking to us about. Because when they checked in with us and said about the social.
They came on social, didn't they?
They did. But they had to leave early for trains.
And we've talked about this couple before. We've never given them a name, but we've been out for dinner with them. We see them relatively regularly.
Yeah.
We speak to them regularly.
Yeah.
And they are just fantastic people.
Yes. They, from a really personal point of view, and I'm sure you'll agree with me, they bring something to my life. like yeah, in a good
completely.
Way. And there's they're not just many good people can do that. Yeah. And they definitely do. And they're just really good levelers.
Yeah. You know, let's give them a name. Let's call them the Insightfuls.
Okay. Yeah.
Because that's what they are.
They are very insightful, yeah. Yeah.
So they've been weighing things up for themselves, I think, because they were really disappointed they had to leave
yeah.
the social early. So they've been processing a little bit and obviously caught up with us on Sunday and last yeah. night, Monday. And yeah, basically, he was talking about something which he's termed, apparently it's been used in a blog before by some other friends of theirs,
yeah.
but we've licensed the audio use of the word. And that word is swendy.
Yeah, this came about, didn't it? Because I was saying to them how I'm a shit swinger.
Yes.
And
they reassured you weren't.
They did. But he is quite similar to me, isn't he? In how his words were, unless somebody's licking me, I don't realise they want to kiss me.
Yeah, my response was, I think if they're licking you, you might have gone beyond
yeah,
kissing.
Yeah, but I totally get it. And I think he totally gets where I'm at with this. So I then asked the question, see, for example, if we have played with somebody or if we've been kissing somebody, I don't find it a hang-up or a hold-up to then go to another event with those people or another social event, another social thing. I don't have a concern. I'll just go ahead and kiss. So it's this little weird barrier that I have just before I've done the first kiss. When I've done that, I seem okay.
The gates are open.
The gates have opened. So I was asking him if he had the same thing with people that they maybe regularly see or regularly play with or they have done in the past, what did he have it? And he said, no, he was the same. He didn't have it. He found once he'd done the first kiss, once he could move forward with it, he just like me, he could do it. And that's when he said, oh, however, you can sometimes get swenvy.
I mean, the obvious thing is you and him need to kiss.
Maybe. We sort each other out in that sense, to be honest with you. That could be a good idea. But to explain to the listeners what swenvy is.
Well, I think swenvy can cover a few things. It's obviously swinger envy.
Yeah.
But it was a couple of things, really. It was the envy of other couples and that sort of social media sort of world of it always seems as though other people are having it, you know, more exciting or
yeah.
better or something, and in reality, it isn't. Everybody has a different path, and you're on your path because it's the one you want to be on.
Well, there's that old famous saying, which I absolutely love, isn't it? Is that comparison is the thief of all joy.
Theodore Roosevelt said that.
There you go. I sounded a bit intellectual there, didn't I? Throw the quotes in. I used to do singing, now I throw quotes in. Get me, growth, 333, here we go.
I knew who it was.
But it is that, because it's weird though. So, for example, with us two together, I don't concern myself, and I think the same with you, that when you're with somebody else, I don't think you're comparing them to
me. Oh, God, no.
But as a couple, if you've then hooked up with another couple and they then go off with a different couple,
do you compare yourself to the new couple?
Mm.
And we discussed this with the Insightfuls last night.
Yeah.
And I said, I genuinely don't.
No, you really, really don't.
Really don't, because everybody's different. And it's not necessarily that there's better or worse, it's just different. So, you know, it's like what's better, tea or coffee? Well, it depends what your taste is.
Yeah, and fundamentally, I 100% agree with you, and I feel that. But there's also that little bit in me still, if I was being brutally honest, which is the pick me.
Is there?
A little bit, yeah.
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 I don't have that.
You do, but I think you're being a little bit, not robotic, but I think that men are easier in that sense. They can switch that off a little bit more than women. Because we are more emotionally driven as a gender.
True.
So
it can be.
Can be. Not always, but can be. But it's just, yeah, it's an interesting one, and we quite like the term, didn't we? We're like, oh, we're going to pinch that.
Yeah, but I don't think it's just the envy of what are the couples like. It's that envy of your play friends.
Yeah.
Are then going having a good time elsewhere. Are you envious of them having more? So it's not necessarily the envy of the other couple.
Mm. It's them having fun. The you.
Without you.
Without you. You're not part of it. Yeah. Yeah, well, that is, like I've just said, the pick me yeah. that's inside.
Again,
you.
I don't have that at no. all, but I'm not an envious person.
You're not at all, in the slightest. I can vouch for you on that. But I think most people have an element of envy yeah. in them. Or an element of FOMO even. You know, what am I missing out on?
I don't think I have FOMO
no,
or envy.
No, you don't. No, you don't. You're a bit odd, really, aren't you?
Well, so I've been told. But no, I mean, we were also talking, and he coined a term for this as well, which again we've licensed.
We've not, but go on.
And he said you can get the swick.
The swick, SWICK, swing at ick. Yeah.
Yeah. So it might be a couple that you really like, and you talked about this with
yeah.
a while back on a social. I connected with a woman, mm. you snugged her husband, but you suddenly got the ick.
Yeah.
And we've had it with other people as well where, you know, we might like them, but then something gives you the ick.
And when you get the ick, you're never coming back from that. It's not happening.
It's really difficult because it's that thing where whatever you do, the ick is the first thing you see.
So I think was the swick, is that specific to swinger things because it...
Yeah, swick.
Yeah, but what specifically makes it the swick, I wonder?
No, it's just in swinger...
In swinger world.
Yeah.
They're both good terms. Swenvy swick.
Yeah, I think swick, though, it can be... You know, you might get the swick by somebody that... So say you've played with a couple and then they go and play with somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
Then if... That other couple give you the ick.
You can get swick with the yeah. with your original couple. Yes,
and
absolutely.
I think that's something where... So, if you meet a couple and they play with somebody that you're not keen on, that's fine. If you play with them and they later then play with somebody you're not keen on, that then is, yeah, I don't think I'll go about that.
Yeah, yeah. It can come on very fast, swick. Can't say. It can yeah. come from nowhere almost.
I mean, people could have the swick about us because we play with some, you know, mingus.
I'll put that in.
But going on from Swenvy and swick, we've not got a word for this. Mr. Insightful, we'll have to ask him for one. But the other thing is, can you almost be the exact opposite of jealousy in the sense of you almost promote your partner to the extreme?
Yes.
And I think we've seen quite a few examples on this. As we've said many, many times, we're on lots and lots of chat groups. And sometimes, you know, people put
what we've noted.
Lots of photos up of themselves. And the partners can comment on them, which is fine. I occasionally comment on your photos. But we've noticed some, and it's normally men about
yeah,
women.
Yeah, it is. I've never seen a woman do it about a man.
No, and it's almost like... Wow, look how hot my wife is, or she's the hottest woman in the world. They're not necessarily these things, but...
They're examples, or it'll be things like, somebody will comment and say, oh, wow, you know, your arse is amazing, or your legs are amazing. And somebody will go, yeah, and then the husband will come on and go, yeah, 4 hours in the gym a day, mate. And it's like, are you trying to claim something? Like, I don't know, it just feels a little bit claimy. That's...
Well... What it does is it makes them seem unavailable. It doesn't
yeah.
It doesn't make it seem as though the man wants to share his wife.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it does. It does come across as that. And it's not always the example of, you know, she's 4 hours in a gym. It can be other things that maybe seem so simple, but
they're
lavishing the attention on their wife, which, yes, that's lovely and everything, but I think that you have to find a balance right on
the make sure that you're doing it to other people's wives as well. Because ultimately,
yeah.
we're in a world where it's about sharing.
Mm.
So as much as you might want to share somebody else's wife, you've got to be prepared that other people are going to want to share your wife.
If that's your dynamic.
Well, I suppose so. But it can just come across a little bit like, well,
bit
he
only.
Really doesn't... He really... Well... He really doesn't want others to have her.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And I think that can... I don't think it's swick.
No, but it's definitely off-putting from a couple... From like a couple...
Well, it just seems as though... And obviously, you're always going to favour your own partner.
Yeah, it's a fine line. But there is a line.
But what you don't want to feel is, if you're in a foursome, that it's just like... you know, I just wish I was with my partner right now.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got to enjoy the person you're with.
We've talked about that. It's called appreciation, isn't it?
Yeah.
You need to each individually feel appreciated in that moment that you're in.
So, obviously, we get quite a bit of sort of messaging and emails and, you know, contact like that, tweets, etc. And people say, what do you think of this or that or the other? And then we've observed, for example, like on the groups and things like that. Now, should we then be saying, look, we think this might be where you're going wrong?
Mm.
Not that we're experts,
no, but in our opinion. It's not for us to say, but should are we going back to society? Should society be guiding you a little bit?
Should we give you a bit more tough love?
Yeah, yeah. As in, look, love, so that like, looks awful, you know, on you. Put something else on, or...
Or if somebody just said to you, for fuck's sake, Mrs. G, just go up and snog him.
But I know he'd put me back up, and I'd do completely the opposite. If somebody tells me to go and do something, I'll go and tell them to fuck themselves. So that's a no-way approach with me.
Right, don't dare give me a blowjob tonight.
Go fuck yourself, you can have a wank instead.
Well, maybe, to your dream.
Maybe, eh? Yeah, tough love. I think it's all very individual. Some people can take it. Some people want absolute honesty. Some people can't deal with the truth. They can't handle the truth because ultimately they're living in a fantasy world. It's not for me. It's not for us. I mean, we're not experts. We've said this time and time again. We're on our own journey. We've decided to record a podcast. We get, as Mr. G says, an awful lot of emails and people reaching out. And it's lovely. We love to hear from you. But we're not experts, and we can only say, well, this is how it worked for us.
Well, funnily enough, on Saturday lunchtime, when we were at the brunch, I was chatting to, there was two couples who were brand new.
Yeah.
And they'd ended up sat together because the venue had done the seating plan.
Yeah, we didn't know
and
to do that.
We were chatting to them, and one of the ladies said, look, I've never listened to your podcast, which is fine. But my husband does, and the other lady, she listened to the first episode and was sort of laughing how different we were to that first episode. And her and her husband were also brand new. And it was one of those things where she was asking a lot of questions, and all I was doing is giving our experience. And, you know, and she said, oh, you should be charging for this. It's like sex therapy. And I was very quick to say, no.
It's not.
It's really not, because... No. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just a fucker talking about fucking. It's just an opinion. And, you know, there's a lot of people that profess to be experts and things, but ultimately, everybody's got an opinion and can share it.
Don't mean to say it's right or right for you, though, does that?
No, exactly. So, yeah, maybe tough love isn't the thing to do.
Maybe. Although, if somebody is asking you where they might be going wrong... let's say, for example, a single guy. How many single guys contact us, actually, let's rephrase that, email and say, or contact and say something about me and completely and utterly ignore you? It happens a lot. The amount of message requests we get on Twitter, and fair enough, do you know what? It's predominantly me, my boobs, tits, ass, whatever, that's out there on it. So I understand that.
But it's very clearly as well a couple's account.
And the amount of times we've had this...
We get it on KK as well.
Yeah, we do. That's what I'm saying. It can happen everywhere. But if you're approaching, from a single guy's point of view, if you're approaching a couple with the prospect of play with a couple, to be a single guy with that couple, you'd need to be approaching it as a couple, not just the woman. Do not ignore the man.
Not necessarily sexually.
Is it tough love for us to turn around to that single person, that single, usually man, I've never had a woman do it, to turn around and go, listen, mate, if you think you've even got half a chance...
It's because they're all messaging me.
Ready for the snogs. You know, listen, mate, if you think you've got half a chance, you're not going to have it with us. It's not our dynamic. But if you're going to do this as a rule, you need to be approaching the couple, not the woman. Is that tough love? I don't think it is tough love. I think we are offering a service.
Maybe.
There.
And we have met some really sort of nice, friendly single men.
We talked
about the one who brought his date on Saturday.
But for every
he's a great guy.
But for every single guy that we know that's nice and lovely, there's probably, if just from my little, you know, from what I know we get into our inbox, etc., maybe for everyone, at least 10 who are simply going, nice tits, where would you like, what was that one I had recently? Where would you like me to put your birthday present? Where would you like me to deposit it? In your fucking brain cells, mate, because while you're speaking to me like that, you've no chance of even getting any kind of communication. It's just disrespectful. But is that tough love? I don't know. I don't think it is. If I think they should be guided. They should be learning how to be a little bit more respectful.
Maybe, maybe. So, you know, summing it all up and coming back round, I mean, we had a great time at the brunch. We had a great time in the evening. We had a great time at the McDonald's, and there was just us.
The McDonald's.
Another couple. And half of a couple, because they'd ended up with the childcare falling through. So the one half had come in the daytime.
Yeah, and the other, he had to do a switch, didn't he?
Yeah, one half came in the evening.
And yeah, it's funny, isn't it, on your night. So we had a great afternoon, a great evening, and then we ended up, chatting
shit.
About all sorts of shit, but some serious stuff too.
Well, it was quite nice because, you know, the couple there, we probably known for over a year to say hello to, but we'd never really spent any time.
No.
And they made the effort to come to the social, and we spent a bit of time with them, and really nice people.
Yeah, no.
So that was...
I think we can safely say it was a successful event all round. It was... We were quite lucky that it was with a group of people. There was no real...
Oh, it's been a fantastic group.
There was no dickheads.
No, there wasn't. And in fact, normally, these groups disband after the social... And a few people have sort of said...
Yeah, they want to carry the little group on, haven't they? So, yeah.
So we'll switch the name up and carry it on. And it might fizzle out or it might carry
not,
on. But
yeah.
It was just a really nice group of people. And,
yeah, all very like-minded. It was good.
You know, some people enjoyed snogs and things. I think there was a bit of play with some of them.
Yeah.
And whatever they did, if they just came along to enjoy the vibe, that's fine as well.
I think the play actually happened in between venues. I mean, that's good work. Not even waiting till the end of the night. In between venues, en route, back to hotel, get your fuck on, carry on.
That's where we went wrong. Then again, we couldn't really, if we were hosting.
That bloody hotel of ours was too far out of town. We've learnt the lesson.
Yeah, obviously, you need it in between.
Yeah.
No, but we went back after the McDonald's and we had some excellent sex, actually, didn't we?
We did. Well, the room had warmed up a little bit by then, so I could actually have sex without feeling like I was getting some kind of lockjaw under the covers because my head was in a funny position.
And, one of the side effects of drinking, for me, takes me ages and ages and ages to come.
Took me a bit longer than usual as well. I think
you came about three times.
Well, all right. I'm on a new regime.
you did, actually. There was... Yeah, I'm sure it was three times.
All right.
I was a bit drunk, can't even remember.
Mr. Lothario. No, it was a good night. We enjoyed our time together.
Time with other people.
Time with other people.
The social side, the kissing side. Well, for me.
But like I said before, it's not all lost because I think we forget sometimes we're still only... about a year in.
Well, the other thing I said to you, if you remember, because the guy you kissed was at the end of the night, I didn't see you with the three-way, but the guy you kissed at the end of the night, I was sat opposite, I think I was kissing somebody else at the time, actually, I can't remember now, but I looked across and saw you kissing, and I said to you just today, I think, I really enjoy watching you kiss, because it's something I never see.
No, true.
When I'm kissing you, and yeah, you're a tender kiss, I think. Does that make you sound a bit unpassionate?
A bit weak and pathetic.
No, it's really...
I don't know. You don't know how you kiss yourself.
Well, I know how you kiss, obviously, but when you see it...
It's nice.
Yeah, so, if you're listening, you've never done anything, watch your partner kiss someone. It's actually really hot.
We know that from when we first did it, which isn't that long ago, really. So, yeah.
Which leads me on to one of the ladies I kissed. She was actually... Her husband was kissing somebody else behind her. And she turned around and she was like, I don't like watching him kiss.
All right.
I was like, oh, all right. And then I think she kissed me. I was like, if I'm just blocking the view, that's fine.
I'll help you.
Yeah, she was attractive as well.
There you go.
But then everybody pretty much was. It was just a hot group.
Yeah, it was. It was a good all-rounder.
Yeah. But in summary, I think probably, like I say, all the women are kissed, fantastic, but there was probably two in particular for me that are connected with, or that we've connected with, that was nice to sort of have that kiss with them, and who knows?
Well, time will, it depends whether I get my shit together, really, doesn't it? True. I can stop being a shit swinger.
We told one of them, the husbands today, that you've been dreaming of fucking him senseless.
I didn't say senseless.
Pretty much.
It wasn't like that in my dream. We did fuck, but it wasn't senseless.
What was it?
It was just a fuck.
You're a bit more enthusiastic on the chat.
I need to go and get more testosterone cream on me. Are we time to wrap up?
Yeah, I can put some testosterone cream
I
on
you. I bet you can. I bet you can.
All right, well, thanks for listening.
Thank you.
I think we should probably release one more before Christmas.
Yeah, that's mad, isn't it? One more before Christmas.
We sat in the room where we record, and I remember last year looking out and saying about the lights we had and stuff, and they're back up now.
Yeah.
It's sort of a first floor room that we record out of, and the lights are just outside the window. And, well, where did these years go?
Where did it go? I know.
But this year, we're snogging and fucking other people. Okay, bye for now.
Bye. If any of our gorgeous listeners would like to contact us, we can be reached at Twitter at Sexless Swingers, email hello@sexlessswingers.co.uk, or on Fab, the_sexless_swingers.